I want to begin by doing something that I just about never do, read to an audience. This is a story that my children absolutely love, and I think it really helps to illustrate one of the points I want to make. This is an old Scandinavian tale that tells about the husband who is to mind the house. Once upon a time, there was a man so surly and cross, he never thought his wife did anything right around the house. One evening during haymaking time, he came home complaining that dinner wasn't on the table, the baby was crying, and the cow had not been put in the barn. "I work and work all day," he growled, "and you get to stay home and mind the house. I wish I had it so easy. I could get dinner ready on time, I tell you that." "Don't, dear love, don't be so angry," said his wife. "Tomorrow, let's change our work. I'll go out with the mowers and cut the hay, and you can stay home and mind the house." The husband thought that would do very well. "I could use a day off," he said. "I'll do all the your chores in an hour or two and sleep the afternoon away." So early the next morning, the wife put a scythe over her shoulder and trudged out to the hayfield with the mowers. The husband stayed behind to do all the work at home. First of all, he washed some clothes, and then he began to churn the butter. But after he had churned a while, he remembered he needed to hang the clothes up to dry. He went out to the yard and had just finished hanging his shirts on the line when he saw the pig run into the kitchen. So off he dashed to the kitchen to look after the pig, lest it should upset the churn. But as soon as he got through the door, he saw the pig had already knocked the churn over. There it was, grunting and rooting in the cream, which was running all over the floor. The man became so wild with rage, he forgot about his shirts on the line and ran at the pig as hard as he could. He caught it too, but it was so slippery from all the butter, it shot out of his arms and right through the door. The man raced into the yard, bound to catch that pig no matter what, but he stopped dead in his tracks when he saw his goat. It was standing right beneath the clothesline, chewing and chomping at every last shirt. So the man ran off the goat, locked up the pig, and took what was left of his shirts off the line. Then he went into the dairy and found enough cream to fill the churn again, and so he began to churn for butter they must have at dinner. When he had churned a bit, he remembered that their cow was shut up in the barn and had not had a mouthful to eat or a drop of water to drink all morning, though the sun was high. He thought it was far too late to take her down to the meadow, so he decided to put her on top of the house, for the roof, you must know, was thatched with grass. The house lay next to a steep hill, and he thought if he lay a wide plank from the side of the hill to the roof, he'd get the cow up easily. But still, he couldn't leave the churn, for there was the baby crawling about the floor. "If I leave," he thought, "the child is sure to upset it." So he put the churn on his back and went on with it. Then he thought he'd better water the cow before he put her on the roof, so he got a bucket to draw water out of the well. But as he stooped down to the brink of the well, the cream ran out of the churn over his shoulders, down the back, and into the well. Now it was near dinner time, and he didn't even have any butter yet. So as soon as he put the cow on the roof, he thought he'd best boil the porridge. He filled the pot with water and hung it over the fire. When he had done that, he thought the cow might fall off the roof and break her neck, so he climbed onto the house to tie her up. Tied one end of the rope around the cow's neck, and the other he slipped down the chimney. Then he went back inside and tied it around his own waist. He had to make haste, for the water now began to boil in the pot, and he still had to grind the oatmeal, so he began to grind away. While he was hard at it, down fell the cow off the housetop after all, and as she fell, she dragged the poor man up the chimney by the rope. There he stuck fast. And as for the cow, she hung halfway down the wall, swinging between heaven and earth because she could neither get down nor up. Meanwhile, the wife, who was out in the field, waited and waited for her husband to call her home to dinner. At last, she thought she'd waited enough and went home. When she got there and saw the cow hanging in such an ugly place, she ran up and cut the rope with her scythe. But as soon as she did, down came her husband out of the chimney. So when she went inside the kitchen, she found him standing on his head in the porridge pot. "Welcome back," he said, after she had finished fishing him out. "I have something to say to you." So he said he was sorry, gave her a kiss, and never complained again. I have a little bit of experience with staying home and watching children. My wife went out of town for about 2 days to visit with her sister earlier this year. Blaine Kelly, who will be speaking a little bit later, has a little more experience with that, having stayed home while his wife was out of the country for a few weeks, tending to her sister recovering from surgery. It's a difficult thing that our wives do, and we really ought to appreciate it a lot more than we do. There's a lot of work that happens at home. The Bible tells us that when God created Eve, he made Adam a helper that was suitable for him, was fit for him, was just right for him. In 1 Peter 3, we're told that we are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge or understanding. I puzzle over that sometimes because I wonder how I can understand another human being who can buy her 57th pair of shoes and offer an excuse for that, well, it was 70% off. Now, I believe there's a conspiracy here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist at heart, but I believe there's a conspiracy here, and I believe, men, that our wives are complicit in this. Have you ever seen a woman's pair of shoes that was not on sale? I think this is something that's supposed to make us feel better when they come in with that next pair to clutter up the closet and they say, well, it was on sale. That doesn't work in the men's world. When you see a table saw that's on sale for 70% off, you wonder what's wrong with it. This is not the world that you and I live in. But this is the way it is for our women. What does it mean for them to be a helper? What is it Adam needed help with? Was she supposed to help him tend the garden? I think there was one thing specifically that Adam was going to need, and he didn't even know it at the moment. He was going to need a child. They were going to need to be children in this world, and they were going to have to be brought up. And ultimately, there was going to be the need for a Savior, and that's where it was going to come. That Savior was going to come from. In the Hebrew, the word Ezer is the word for helper. We find it in one place in the Bible where we know it better than anywhere else because it comes to us in the English, Ebenezer, in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Hitherto, God has helped us. You see, a helper can be God. A helper does not have to be our inferior. A helper is somebody that we desperately need. Man's role has been ridiculed in our society quite a bit in the last several decades. Going back probably to the 1960s, you go back to the days of Archie Bunker, and ever since then, men have been belittled. But I think we need to be careful that we do not belittle our wives and the role that they play. Our society is in great need today of men who are willing to work on their homes. Home maintenance is a very difficult thing to do. There's always something that needs to be done. I mowed about half my lawn 2 weeks ago, and by the time I got around to the other half, the first half needed to be mowed. It's a difficult thing to keep on top of, but we need to make sure that we take care of what's inside that home, what it's really there for, those that live within the walls that we're trying to hold up. We need to be working on our marriages. That's something that's easy to let slip by. What are some of the things we need to do to make our marriages work? Some things we need to avoid. There are a lot of people, especially early on in their marriages, they get burdened with too much debt, too many things they just don't need. They don't need it right now. Secrets. I've told people before, they'll tell me, I'll tell you this, but don't tell your wife. Don't tell me then, because I share everything with my wife. That's something we need to do. I'll tell you something else I believe very strongly in, and that's relationships with other women. There need to be boundaries up there, men. We've got to be careful about those things. I've got a policy. I don't do lunch with women other than my wife. I don't know about you, some of you may be in business situations, you don't have any choice sometimes, but we need to put those boundaries up there. We also need to train our children. That's what this is about. I find it significant that in the Hebrew language that the Old Testament came to us from, both words for son and daughter come from a root that means to build. They're the building blocks of our home. They're what we're doing all of this for. And we need to be training them. Ephesians 6 verse 4 tells fathers to bring their children up in the discipline, the training, the admonition of the Lord. And this requires more than just the rod of correction. It involves instruction. Not just telling them when they've done something wrong, but telling them how to do things right. And that's an essential part, I believe, of bringing these children up. God expects us to provide for our families, as we've already seen from 1 Timothy chapter 5. But it's not just material things. It's giving of ourselves. And if we don't have time to spend with our families, then we're doing things wrong. We're doing the wrong things. Nehemiah chapter 4 is a place I want us to pay a little bit of attention with what time we have left. I've already been told that I'm the one that's keeping everybody here from barbecue, so I'm going to be sensitive to that. Nehemiah chapter 4, and this is, Brother Farr already brought this up, where Nehemiah comes back to the city of Jerusalem. And he sees the terrible kind of condition that the city's security system is in. The walls that had once surrounded, enveloped this city and kept it safe from outsiders are all lying in ruins. And the people are going about their business. They've learned to just put this out of mind. Yes, there are enemies all around, but they don't seem to think that much about it. But Nehemiah wants to get the people busy. And the Bible tells us that once they began to build, some interesting things happened. Verse number 1, so it happened when Sanballat heard, this is one of their enemies, that they were rebuilding the wall. He was furious and very indignant. And he mocked the Jews. And people will do this to us when we try to build walls up to protect our families from things that are outside. And they see, said, what are these feeble Jews doing, verse 2? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build up, even if a fox goes up it, he will break down their stone wall. And this is the way the world sees the kinds of things we do to protect our families. What do our families need to be protected from? Our children that are growing up, I'll tell you one thing, is technology. So many young people have these. And these cell phones, these devices. And they can be very wonderful tools, but they can also be deadly. There are things that they can get access to. We've got to be careful of it. We've got to know what's out there. We put smoke alarms in our homes. We try to protect our children from dangerous things. We put security systems in. We will do all kinds of things to keep our children safe. We need to make sure they're kept safe from other things too. We took the satellite dish out about 4 years ago. Greatest thing we ever did. I didn't know how I'd be able to live without it. It was a great move for us to make. And something I recommend you try if you've never done. We called up the satellite company. One of the greatest days I ever had when I called them, I said, I want you to come get this dish and get it out of my yard. I don't want to pay for it anymore. We'll give it to you free for 3 months. If you'll just know, you don't understand. I don't want it anymore. Get rid of it. It's been a great thing for our family. And there are a lot of things like that that we can do to help our families out. We can learn to live with risk the way the Jews did with those walls down. We can decide we're going to do something about it. Where do we begin? Where these Jews did. Nehemiah chapter 3, I believe it's verse number 26. It tells when they began to build this wall, they began each one at his own house. Now, I might build my wall a little bit differently than you do. But we've got to get that wall up. We've got to protect those that are inside. Imagine you get a phone call. And someone says, hey, I just saw on the news, there was a circus coming through town, stopped to fuel up at a gas station in your neighborhood, and one of the lions got loose. It's running free in your neighborhood. My kids are out playing in the yard. Am I going to leave them out there? I'm going to get them where they're safe. We cannot protect our children from all the kinds of dangers that are out there in the world, but we can give them a safe environment to grow up in. We can teach them about the dangers that are out there and to be careful about those things. And I believe something else, part of our work at home is to make sure that they understand their proper role. That's something that's already been pointed out here. In Hebrew, the word ish, man, means strong. Not just in body, but in character. Someone who is able to control his emotions in a difficult circumstance, who can lead the way. The word for woman, isha, delicate. Her ornamentation is that of a meek and quiet spirit, as we read in the New Testament. This is what God wants all of us to be. In the Old Testament, it was the father's responsibility to protect his daughter's innocence as she was growing up. In the New Testament, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and Paul tells us, the one that gives a woman in marriage, he may do well, but one who does not give her in marriage, he may actually be doing better. Who is that person? Her father. Her father has a responsibility to take care of her, a responsibility to protect her until the day that she is ready to leave that home and to go out and to form a family of her own. That's what God wants us to do. And if you're like me, you have daughters. I have 5 of them, as most of you probably know. And it scares me to death to think that one of these days I will walk them, each one, Lord willing, down the aisle and give her away to some man. But I've got to make sure that I don't give them up before then. Because that happens a lot of times. There are sometimes fathers who walk their daughters down the aisle to give her over to someone she's already given up a long time ago. She's been gone for years because she didn't have any respect for her father. We need to make sure that we're bringing up children in the way that God would have us. And while we build those walls around our homes the way that Nehemiah began the work of building that wall around Jerusalem, finished it in 52 days. How did they do that? Look there at Nehemiah 4, verse number 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. That's what we need, a mind to work. We've got to get busy. Sometimes we don't know how we ever going to get this done. They had a problem. They had to get the rubble out of the way before they could even start building the walls back up. But they weren't going to accept any excuses. They got busy doing what needed to be done. While we're building those walls up, though, we've got to make sure we bring other walls down. Because inside of our homes, there can be walls that separate us from one another. It's fascinating that although we have devices where we can talk to people on other continents, we have the hardest time sometimes communicating with people inside our own homes, under our own roofs. Have you ever texted somebody that was in the same house as you were? It's hard sometimes to communicate sometimes with the people that we are the closest to. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, when God was telling the children of Israel what to do when they came into the promised land, He said, I want to make sure that you don't forget. Don't forget what God has done for you as He led you all the way through the wilderness. I want you to remember. How are we going to do that? I want you to talk. Talk to one another. Talk about what? Talk about my statutes, the memorials that I've given you. Honor those things. The Passover. Tell your children what that's all about. All of the different feasts that I have given you, the commandments that I've made. Tell them what God has done. I want you to talk about my word. And I want you to talk about it diligently with your children. I want you to tell them about God's mighty and wonderful works. When are we going to do that? We're busy people. God knew that. God said, when you come into this place and you move in on these vineyards that you didn't plant, you move into these houses you haven't built, when you're so busy, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. That's when you're going to need to remember and be reminded the very most. Talk about these things when you get up in the morning. Talk about them when you go to bed at night. Talk about them when you're sitting in your houses, when you're walking by the way, everywhere you go, in everything you do. Talk about the Lord and all He has done. God intends great things for our homes. He intends them to last a lifetime. He intends for them to be a blessing to us and a blessing to the world, a training ground for the saints that will lead the way tomorrow. When we get a mind to work, the devil is going to come after us with everything that he has. But the Bible assures us if we will draw near to God, He will draw near to us, and the devil will flee from us. Thank you so much.